Today we'll be looking at acts of righteousness and more specifically, generosity. I think many of us have probably come across people in our lives that have tried to be overly religious. The ones that come across as all talk, but then their lives really don't reflect it. At the time of Jesus, the Pharisees were such a group. They wanted to look the part of being ultra-religious or ultra-righteous. And I won't say everything they did was wrong, yet sometimes the things they did do right were still done for the wrong reasons. Giving to the poor is a good thing, but doing it in order to bring attention to oneself, it's a problem because it's not really about giving to the poor. It's about the attention. One author wrote this: "The desire for religious respect or the desire for a great religious reputation will immediately drag us into the rightness of scribes and Pharisees because that desire always focuses entirely upon the visible action and not on the source of action in the heart. The scribes and Pharisees, as Jesus pointed out, do everything they do with the aim of being noticed by others. They enlarge the religious symbols on their clothing. They like to have the most prominent seats at the dinners and in the synagogues. They relish loudly respectful greetings in the malls and public places, and they like being called professor or teacher or doctor. They like the titles." We see those things listed in Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7, which I am not going to read this morning. But the religious leaders, they hungered for that recognition. They hungered for the titles. Such a hunger led to bragging and puffing up credentials and feeding their desire that everyone would look at them and praise them for what they're doing or for what they claim to know. They thought very highly of themselves. Something that we are warned to be careful of by the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:3, which I'll read right now. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." The Apostle Paul understood everyone has a part in the body of Christ. We serve the Lord with our gifts and our abilities. We serve the Lord by giving of our time and our treasure. We're not all the same, but each serving the Lord is the main point. Serving ourselves removes us from serving the Lord. The ultra-religious, they struggled with this. And we will see this even more as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read our passage for today as we move into chapter 6 of Matthew. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." There's a lot in that passage. Us humans, with our sinful nature, have a draw to usurp the place of God, making ourselves the center of our own stories. And in reality, we want to be our own God. And if we are our own God, then others can praise us and give us approval. All the while, we should be more concerned about the approval of God Himself. That's what we should be doing. In that first verse, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men." We need to be careful with this. Jesus will point out three areas of righteousness that we're going to be covering over the next few weeks. We're going to look at giving today. We're going to look at prayer next week. And we'll be looking at fasting a little later on. But today, we are looking at giving. The part that we need to be careful with is to delineate between seen and not seen acts. This isn't necessarily speaking against a good deed or an act of righteousness that happens to be seen by another person. If we are truly concerned about Christ and truly concerned about others, there will be times that our deeds, our acts, are going to be visible by others. We can't get away from that, okay? If we're truly concerned about Christ, we will be doing the right things, even if it is seen. And it's okay to be seen. But the part that Jesus is speaking against is that a good deed would be done in order to be seen. You see the difference? One is doing something good because we're following Christ. Another is doing something good in order to gain attention. Whether giving to a person in need or praying or fasting, what is the motivation for doing them? Is it to be the hands and feet of Christ, drawing closer and communicating with Him and being available to Him and hearing from God and putting Him first? Is that our motivation? It should be. Or is the motivation that someone is watching, so you give? Someone is there to hear you speak, so you pray. Someone will notice you are fasting, so you fast. The motivation of the heart is the most important. Are you motivated to love and serve God, or is it seeking attention from others by what you are doing? This isn't necessarily if someone saw you do something, but it's the motivation for why you are doing it. If your motivation is for attention and approval of others, then there is no reward from your Father in heaven. It's not delightful in His eyes. It might have been a really good thing that you did, but if it was for the attention, your Heavenly Father wasn't a part of it. So in verse 2, Jesus gives us an example. So when you give to the needy, giving to the needy is good. Some of your translation might say alms, which is charity to those in need, which can be done giving of something needed or giving of time by doing something that's needed. Anyways, we're called to care for those in need. But the how we give is just as important as the giving. You see, the law couldn't regulate the attitude of the heart. But Jesus is guiding us to what it looks like as a kingdom citizen. The example is what not to do. When you do give, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. Now, the person in need probably doesn't really care how their need is being met. They're just thankful that the need is met. But God is concerned about our heart as we give. When you give, do not announce with trumpets. Jesus phrases this in a way that it was expected of you to give. And I realize that our culture has a lot more safety nets for the poor, and that there's welfare and food pantries and other helps in place. But giving to the needy isn't something Jesus sees as just a good idea. It is something that you will do. This is a part of caring and loving others. But when you do give, do not announce with trumpets. It seems that many scholars are torn on this part. Was it really a custom to blow trumpets or to blow a shofar when giving? Most say no. But it's giving in such a way that the motive is to gain attention. So, you know, at our offering time, we don't see people standing up and kind of waving a check and going, here's $500. Hey, I'm putting $500 in the offering. Announcing what they're giving. Now, we don't see that because we're already kind of already in the custom of not doing those things, but that's exactly what was happening. Giving to the needy is godly, but giving to receive the praise of man has nothing to do with God. And I think that's why Jesus calls them hypocrites. That word in Greek gives the appearance of play acting, wearing a costume to take off. They are acting godly and putting on the costume of being godly, but it's not something from the heart. And eventually they will be taking off that costume. Eventually they will stop acting the part, as it was never about pleasing God. It was never about loving others. It was about feeding their need for attention. Whether in the streets or in the synagogues, whether you give in a church or give outside, are you giving because you desire to do what is pleasing to the Lord or what is pleasing in the sight of others? Again, the prohibition isn't saying don't give if someone may see you. That could be an excuse for not giving too. But it becomes a problem if you give because you want to be seen and you want to be recognized for. If it is to get the praise and honor of others, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Again, if it's to get praise and honor from others, that is all the reward you will get. It might have helped the person in need, but it isn't helping the heart of the giver. As a father of five children, and many of you here are parents, you know children like to get approval and praises from us. That is a way that we also encourage them. But how many times have I heard, hey, Daddy, watch me do this. Daddy, look at me. Daddy, did you see me? Maybe it was something like riding a bike or doing a somersault or jumping off some steps or swimming or could be any number of things. They say, look at me, do this. I think we've all been there. Maybe it's not your child, maybe it's someone else's child or a grandchild or another family member. We like approval. We like the encouraging words. We like being validated and recognized. From early on, that seems to be something that is ingrained within us. As we get older, do we still look for validation and approval from others? I would say oftentimes we do. It doesn't have to be from a parent, though it can be from friends or family and certainly our spouses. Oftentimes I'll ask Juanita, what do you think about this? And that's not wrong. It's not wrong to get some of that feedback. But the problem comes in. The problem arises when we get our value, when we get our worth, when we get our purpose in those validations from others, instead of getting our purpose and worth and value from the Lord. But take a moment and think about seeking our Heavenly Father's approval. Maybe in our quiet time we should be asking, hey Lord, look at me. How am I doing? Is this what you're wanting me to do, Lord? Hey Lord, I'm trying and I'm not sure that I have this down yet. Hey Lord, I think I'm getting this, but I could use some more direction. The point is that we really need to be more concerned about what our Lord thinks and living our lives in a manner that's pleasing to Him rather than looking at what others think. And I realize that can be hard at times. Like a child who hears, great job, you're doing awesome. That's immediate feedback. And God's feedback might be a little more subtle. It might feel like maybe at times there's no feedback. And that does get difficult. And that's why it's important to remain in His Word and remain in prayer, because He will speak to us through those. But if you require feedback and approval from others, then they will shape you into who you are instead of who the Lord wants you to be. Again, our value, our purpose, our worth, they need to come from the Lord. We can get our validation from the Lord. And if you and if I give someone money in order to receive praise and approval from others, that doesn't mean I'm a generous person because I gave to them. It means I found a way to get approval and honor from people. The Lord is looking for a generous person who gives because it's important to our Lord. I'd like to continue reading on in our verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Really? Would I still give if nobody knew I gave? I think that's a way that we can ask ourselves to figure out where our motivation is. Would I still give if nobody knew I gave? Would I still give to someone who was in need, even if no one saw me, not even the person who needed it? That would mean there would be no thank you. It would mean there would be no gratitude. Would I still give? I have another story I want to share with you. When we were in Missouri, finances were fairly tight, and we had kind of saved up a little bit to go out to eat at Texas Roadhouse. It was a little more of a stretch for us, but it was a great restaurant that we enjoyed. But we saved up to go. And I think we only had Caitlin and Christy at the time, and the meal, you know, was excellent as always. And after finishing our meal and we were waiting for our bill, the server came up and she informed us that another customer had desired to pay our bill, and they did. So we are left there not knowing who paid for our meal, which was fairly expensive. We didn't recognize anyone that we knew. We looked around, we certainly did, but we had no idea who paid, why they did. What was the reason? You know, maybe it was God using someone to bless us in that way, but there was no thank you from us because we didn't know who to thank. So what did we end up doing? We looked at the Lord and said, okay, Lord, we thank you for that blessing. There are times where blessing in private and secret allow God to receive the credit and the praise. When Jesus says to not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing is another way of saying to keep things secret. And so I'm kind of looking at this from two different directions. We have a giver and we have a receiver. And as a giver, I know that God sees what I'm doing in secret. And if I have given something out of a generous heart, then my focus is on God. If I've given because of the Lord, then He is the one to be credited. But also as a receiver, I may not know who gave, but it gives me an opportunity to praise God and giving Him the credit for that blessing. You see, God sees everything. He sees us when we give generously, when no one else does. He sees us give when we give from the heart and not for the approval or praises of others. God loves a generous giver. I'd like to close with a final passage in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. That part I have underlined. God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful, you know, in the Greek has maybe another translation that I could use. Hilarious. is to give in such a way that, that people might look at you and go, okay, that's hilarious. That's crazy. Not because we're forced to give, not to gain praise, but because God loves a generous, hilarious giver who gives because God is a generous God. And it's good to follow His example. When we give, let us be more concerned about the approval of the Lord and less about the approval of others. We are to have a generous heart as we serve our Lord and Savior.